Extra time is exactly how I find out what's going on in the MLS.
Get lost.
Maybe this podcast has influenced me a little bit as well.
Everybody up here, every single day, goes into the office, into the laboratory, to try to cook up some great stuff for you guys.
That's why he's here!
Oh, from New York, New York, you are listening to Extra Time. I am Andrew Wiebe with my partners in soccer, David Goss, Matt Doyle, Tommy Scoops. What's up? We're back, baby. We're on video. You can see us. It's both a positive and a negative. You can take it either way. Apple TV, YouTube, this is the way it's going to be for the rest of the year. We're still in our remote setup for now. Of course, MLS Season Pass is the focus, but don't worry. Extra Time will be in studio. We'll be together very, very soon. So I'm preparing my New Jersey Transit passes for commuting. It's a new dawn. It's a new day. No longer do I get to sit in my basement and, I don't know, wear whatever I want from the pants down. What's up, guys? Here we are. It's 4 days away? I can't believe it, Doyle.
Yeah.
Get excited. I know you're the king of enthusiasm.
I am the king of enthusiasm, and I'm always jacked the week before the season. I'm always jacked the week before the season starts. I thought the test run on Season Pass this past weekend was fantastic. I sat in front of my TV and I watched the games and I was following along on some of the,
because you need to warm up the armchair,
yeah,
right? Just internal, like players.
Yeah,
I was exactly. Gonna say, how was your test run? What did you work out the kinks for your preseason run through at home?
I worked out the kinks in terms of opening the bottle and getting the pour exactly right and not sending any tweets that would get me in trouble. It was like a really good test run.
What shape of ice cube are we going with this year?
Oh, I'm a standard ice cube shape. I don't go for the fancy. I understand
that's a shock to me.
Do, but I'm not that type.
But
of
it's
guy.
A cube, right? It's not like individual.
Yeah,
mini
it's a
ice
cube. I assume that Tom has like a Death Star ice cube, something like a Jerry Garcia's Grateful Dead guitar. A Nick
three to the dome.
That's terrible.
What if we could get a soccer? You know, the globe ones. We get a soccer ball one for you.
Yeah, go for that? The sphere one.
We can customize it to the Adidas right. Match ball.
It feels like we're really not going to follow the time codes on this one, but here's the thing. I like my scotch with one ice cube in it because I like my scotch a little bit chilled and with a little bit of water. If you get the bigger globe ice cubes, those melt more slowly.
Oh.
So it doesn't change the flavor profile of the scotch in the way I like. So I don't like those big designer ice cubes for that reason. And yes, they are considered designer ice cubes.
No, Anders, I will not be following your instructions in the chat at all. We have two huge shows coming up this week on today's show. It's a Tuesday, obviously President's Day on Monday. Hey, the playoff structure is out just in time for opening day. Amazing. 9 teams in, a lot of more details to give you. We will talk through that in just a second. Final round of transactions before opening day. We were wondering if Toronto FC would, I don't know, get some depth. Well, they have a little bit from FC Dallas. We'll get to Doyle and Goss's take on that one. Plus, Tommy Scoops has some, scoops. Award Predictions Day. It's my favorite show of the year. We go through all the official MLS individual awards, and then we also do our own awards so that the defensive midfielders, the fullbacks, those sorts can get some preseason love as well. Instead of the Golden Boot draft today, because again, Anders is cracking the whip. He says, hey, look, you need to stick to my time codes. We're doing the trophy draft. So, I prefer the Golden Boot draft, but maybe that's just I won it last year, just in case anyone forgot. We'll do the trophy draft today, and we will assign some teams to some fans in the mailbag. Zilly hit us up on Twitter, said LFG. We all know what that stands for. Best MLS Season Ever Award 2023. It sort of feels that way right now, and maybe that's just because everything is new. Season starts Saturday, 4:30 p.m. Eastern. Nashville NYCFC ends on Sunday with Seattle in Colorado. MLS 360. I was in the studios for that dry run you talked about. Doyle doing MLS countdown and MLS wrap up pre and post game for every single night. It's going to be awesome. But the MLS 360 crew, Sasha, BWP, Liam McHugh, Kaylin Kyle, the studio they're in, the setup they have, the vibe that they're going to have, the ability to just like tune into one thing, watch all the games, see all the goals, feel all the moments, have all the conversations. I know nobody got to see that, but those of us that were there, like watching on the returns in studio, it is going to be sick. It is going to be so, so, so cool. It struck me in that moment as sort of years and years and years of wanting something that it felt like the other sports had, but MLS didn't, because the rights and because the coverage and because the broadcasts were scattered around so much. This feels like that thing that we've been hoping for years. And the best part about all of this, you know, even though, as I agree with you, Doyle, you know, the quality of the picture on Season Pass is sick. Like, the quality of the broadcast is going to be awesome. The studio show stuff that we haven't had, it's only going to get better as the season goes on. If you want in Spanish, you can get it in Spanish. If you want, you know, local radio broadcasts instead of the folks that are doing over Season Pass, you can get that too through the Apple TV app. So look, I just saw Charlie Davies, our partner in soccer. He's going to be on the Revs broadcast with Brad Feldman. So if you're like mourning the fact that you didn't get Brad and Charlie, you still get Brad and Charlie. And if I have to remind you again, I will. You might as well just go pay the full amount now. It's not because I'm not trying to pressure you. I'm just trying to save you money. $79 a season or $12.99 a month if you're an Apple TV Plus subscriber. If you're not, $99 a season, less than $100 or $15 a month. I'm telling you, if you're listening to this show, you're a sicko like us, you just love the league, there will be free games over Apple TV every week. You're going to want it all. Just pay the $99. Just pay the $99. I swear, at the end of the season, you're not going to come back to me and be like, oh, Weeby, you know, you cost me 20 lattes over the course of the season I wanted to have. I see your.
No one creates a straw man better than Andrew Weeby. We could spend 15-minute segment on this show debating a thing that no one disagreed with.
Is 11 a.m. too early for a brown liquor special? My gosh.
Well, it is a brown.
Walk away. Get yourself an ice cube, man. Walk away.
Just make it an Irish coffee.
Okay, let's get into the show. Our jersey promos, we're still doing it. Because we love them, because they gave them to us, because we're going to wear them all season long. I'm still in the process of dropping into DMs and emails of all the PR directors in the leagues, because I'm just like that. I'm wearing the Charlotte.
I don't know that I could do this. We've already hit a lot of bingo cards.
Fill them up. We're going for blackout, boys. Nice. We're going for blackout. I got the Charlotte's Crown Jewel kit on, which is
that's a nice one. I really like that one.
The all purple here with your like Charlotte. I'm going to call it the Queen City Blue. I don't know if that's officially what it was in the release and the marketing write up, etc. On the, you know, the crest and the Adidas three stripes and the Ally partnership on the front.
Isn't it mint?
Is it blue? Mint? Mint blue?
All right. I shouldn't make this work.
The show's going to be 4 hours long. Let's go.
I influenced you. So you're trying to get all the details right now.
Is it? Yeah. What does Sir Minty say? What does Sir Minty say?
What would Sir Minty say about this? That's what he might say. If you're watching, you're going to get memeified this year by producing Anders. So the purple and the pink, I think, it's a choice. It's a risk. It's a little avant-garde. If I don't really know what avant-garde means in the sense of fashion.
No, it's not avant-garde. It's just a nice shirt, Weeby.
Okay,
over the weekend? Like, what's going on? Are you just like working in things?
No, I just read MLS Reddit drag me for my attire. So
this would have been very easy. I think it's Carolina blue.
I don't think that all of Carolina would go along with that.
Yeah, I don't think that's Carolina blue. I think that's mint.
Okay.
And purple and pink.
It's a nice blue that corresponds with Charlotte and the MLS club there. What I do love about the write-up on the marketing side is this is about redefining royalty, which I kind of thought the whole point of royalty is that it's not to be redefined, but you know, we can work that out on the back end. We'll take that offline. Dave, what are you wearing? Who are you wearing?
I am sporting the latest Nashville SC kit, which is their blackout kit honoring Johnny Cash. As someone who only wears black exclusively, congratulations to Nashville fans that you can continue to wear exactly what you want and support your favorite team. The key to a black kit means you can wear it anytime. It's not like, oh, I'm going to wear a sports jersey today. It's like, I just look cool. And there's literally a picture on it of Johnny Cash looking like a baddie. So this is one of the cooler kits I think that's come out. Congratulations to Nashville fans once again, because you get to wear this whenever you want.
David, do you have a favorite Johnny Cash song?
Ring of Fire.
Okay. I mean, that was always
my karaoke song if I couldn't think of another one.
Oh, I can see that working well through your voice.
Yeah, you would have a good baritone. Johnny Cash.
I hit that lower octave. I can't go higher. It just doesn't work for me. Start cracking. It's a bad look. What are you wearing, Doyle? Pull back the hoodie for us. The hoodie. Yeah.
I'm wearing the LA Galaxy kit. I was confused by the the trim around the neck and the piping on the arms. Like, obviously I figured out the three stripes and all that, but I wasn't aware of this color combination. It's from the LA City flag. And the jock tag on this is from the LA City flag. It is my favorite of the new kits that I have seen for this year. And I think there's a lot of good new kits, a lot of great new kits this year. This one is my favorite. I love when teams work in local references and sort of intertwine it within their overall look in the first place. I think they did a great job with this one. I'm not a go out and wear a kit guy like David Goss is. But
shocked
like
by this development.
Yeah, this one's pretty sharp, man. This one's pretty sharp. I'm pretty happy that I was able to snake this one. I just wanted on the record that I also was able to cop the LAFC smokescreen kit as well. So I feel like Weeby. Like, I have the two I have the two glamour franchise kits. Did I get Miami too? Like, I might
have
gone.
You did get Miami.
Yeah, I might have gone full Andrew Weeby.
Should we just
for these shows.
Let's delete the rundown. We're just talking about the LA teams the rest of the way. What I do love about this one as well is that it's a throwback in a little, like, it makes your mind think about early days Galaxy kits that had that green.
Yeah.
And I like that as well. So you tie in the local and the throwback too. And Tom over here is shining bright like a diamond. This is it's a beautiful kit, Tom. We gave it to you a reason. You're the only one that could pull it off. Mustaches in Minnesota, it feels like those go together.
Yeah, no, this is the Northern Lights kit. I love it. Look, so the technical details, it's supposed to help like mirror the lights at Allianz Field, which is pretty dope. But like to take it down a notch in terms of analysis, it's just a dope shirt. Like, and for me, I love like a retro 90s tracksuit jacket. I have 100 of them in my closet. It feels like I'm buying them at every vintage shop. This feels like it. Like, this has the same kind of color scheme.
Sure,
the same
thing
vibe
in the world.
Yeah. It's perfect.
Like,
it's
my entire closet is all tracksuits. It's fine. I just grew up watching The Sopranos. I happen to be from New Jersey.
I'm going to get that velour dry cleaned. It's really an issue for me. Yeah, I like it. And I like the crest. That's one of the things I like the best this year is that they didn't say, hey, we have to stick with sort of the standard crest. You have just the loon there. And I think it really simplifies. And again, they're not asking me for my opinion, but St. Louis City, just go ahead and
they did it. They did a really good. Yeah, they did a really good job with that. Having the secondary logo that is like immediately identifiable and like slapping it on the secondary kit, too. Yeah, it's sharp.
Yep, to the point that's stuff. I'm sure you guys have all had this conversation over the last week, but someone, you started with a mailbag about best season ever. This is easy. Untouched, the best
I know what
hit season 100%. Of all time. Yeah, there's the most variety. Teams took the biggest risks. Some will land, some won't, but I think everyone appreciates what the clubs tried to do. And there's going to be a lot of like, oh, I remember that year because it was unique in 2023.
And you hope it's just more of the same going forward. You know, once you see sort of success of this, if you're Adidas, if you're MLS clubs, don't dial it back. Don't go back to the white away kits.
Yeah. Like
give us something when we watch a game that pops. It should be really fun. MLSstore.com. Go get it. That's where you can get all of these new kits. And we'll see them on the field in about 4 days. So that's really fun as well. And we will see a new playoff format. So there's your transition from new kits to a new playoff format. It's a new year in Major League Soccer. The Audi 2023 MLS Cup playoff format came out today. So I'll just kind of run you through this in the simplest terms that I can. There are going to be 9 teams per conference that are going to qualify for the Audi 2023 MLS Cup playoffs. The last couple of years, it's been 7. 1 through 7 in each conference will still get an advantage. They're going to automatically qualify to the round 1 best of 3 series. So the best of 3 series is it returns from way back in the day in Major League Soccer. Seeds 8 and 9, you're going to have that wild card match. So the way it'll work is it'll be 2 single elimination games in each conference. So East and West will have a wild card match. The winner moves on and gets slotted in against the 1 seed. There is not going to be extra time in those matches. If it is tied at the end of 90 minutes, it's going to go straight to penalty kicks to determine the winner. Once you get into the best of 3 series, it's match 1, higher seed is going to host, match 2, lower seed, match 3, if needed, higher seed hosts again. 2 wins and you're through. No extra time. So no, you know, there's no possibility of playing 240 or 360 minutes over the course of 2 or 3 games. It is 90-minute regulation games and then straight to penalties. And then after that, we go back to the format that we've become familiar and fond of, as well as worked pretty well. Conference semifinals, conference final, MLS Cup presented by Audi. All of those games as they were. Single game, elimination match, hosted by the higher seed. Extra time to 15-minute periods. I don't think I have to explain that, but I guess I will. Score is tied. You go to penalty kicks to determine the winner. So that, in a nutshell, is the new playoff format. And I know people out there are going to groan, and they're going to say, God, another playoff format for us to learn. Phil Neville was talking about it this week. He's like, where's this thing at, man? We need the playoff format. And look, I agree. We have it now. I am in sort of that middle ground of like, let's see it in action before we pass some like summation on it. Like, okay, here's my summary judgment. This is good or it's bad. I think there are a lot of good things. I think there are some things that are going to be hard for people. Change always is. But more games, man. More momentum. I remember last year, and I love the playoffs. Like, it's the time of year where I feel like I am the most alive professionally. And, you know, I wouldn't say it to my wife, not personally, but it gives me some juice. It gives me some juice. But I felt like when you hit a Saturday, Sunday, then a Wednesday, even I lost a little bit of juice between. It just, like, I remember watching, for instance, the NBA playoffs in college, and the best part about it was every single night, me and all my buddies would get together, and we would just sit down, and we would watch the games, and it felt like this never-ending, sort of ever-growing crescendo. And I feel like with more games, more opportunities to build, more moments for greatness, like, I'm not personally at this moment complaining about that. Do I love that 9 teams are going to get in? Look, it's not my favorite thing, but like in the Eastern Conference, for instance, 6 teams still aren't going to get in. In the Western Conference, 5 teams aren't going to get in. If this sticks and the league grows, that ratio is going to get better. And oh, by the way, those lower seeds are at a severe disadvantage. They just get one home game. So I am in the middle, trending toward, I think it's going to be really fun. And I don't mourn the loss of extra time for a single second in the wild card or the best of 3 series. Not for a single second. As somebody who's watched every single playoff game this league has put on for more than a decade, there is great extra time and there is a lot of sort of like, all right, let somebody do something. Like, poke them with a meme, please make something happen, extra time. So I'm a wait and see, but a positive trend on this, Dave.
Yeah, overall, just being co-host of Extra Time Radio, we promote that concept of extra time throughout the world. We don't want to eliminate extra time.
Darn,
we're gonna change our name.
But if we do, then we're the only extra time out there, and that could be good for our brand.
Yeah,
good spin.
It's like being the cauldron at a Sporting KC game. We're just a throwback to another era. Listen, I echo a lot of what you said, and seeing it in play is going to be the biggest thing. But the one thing that stood out to me when it came out and reading through it and thinking about it is I do believe, at least in that first round of 3 games, the better team will go through more often. More actions, more moments, more games normally means the cream rises to the top. And so in a league where we spend so much time talking about roster build and what teams are and watching them over 34 games, plus Leagues Cup, plus Open Cup, and so much, in single elimination, often the better team doesn't win out because they're not on that day, or the ball hits the post, or another team comes in and bunkers and is able to get through, or you lose in penalty kicks, whatever it is. I think over the course of 3 games, we won't see that. So I think for teams that build the right way, this will actually end up benefiting them to at least go through in the playoffs. And as a fan, you're getting one home game no matter what, which I think is really cool for a lot of teams. I liked a lot of the single elimination, but there was a momentum that teams just making the playoffs would get in their market, right? You were in the push. They were basically playoff games up until decision day. Decision day last year in Orlando felt like a playoff game, and then your fan base doesn't see the team again. The team goes away. If they win, it's in a silent stadium. And if they lose, they come back. And it's almost like that didn't happen. And the build into it did. So I think it's going to be really cool for those fan bases to be able to celebrate that team one more time, for there to be that environment to sort of pitch.
Will teams just bunker, Div? Like, what you think about? Are you talking
harder to bunker over 3 games than 1 game. So will teams bunker? if there is a team who is a defensive based team, they're going to play the way they're going to play. But RSL went to the Western Conference Finals 2 years ago. I believe they didn't have a shot on goal
against Seattle. Yeah.
Yeah. In the Western Conference Finals. So will a team bunker will not be changed by this format or not this format, but it's going to be harder to bunker for three games to do it twice potentially on the road than it is to do it in one game.
It feels like somebody just, man, he probably got a new contract anyway from LAFC, you would think, Doyle, but John McCarthy and goalkeepers of his ilk might be in high demand.
Goalkeepers of his ilk, meaning penalty kick experts.
Yes.
Shot stopping experts in specifically from the spot.
Nick Raimondo coming out of retirement. Jumps,
right?
Why not? We just need
Tim Melia's going to last.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it just specifically because of the lack of extra time, you could see maybe, you know, more defensive managers deciding to make a sub in the 88th minute to get their penalty kick expert onto the field and into the shootout. There's no guarantee, of course, but it's something fun to think about. I'm mostly with Weeby in terms of, I like the idea that this is going to create momentum night after night after night for, I think, about the first 10 days. There's going to be an MLS playoff game or several to watch. And that's something the league has never had before. And we saw, like, as great as single elimination has been the past few years, we have tended to lose that momentum or at least not really start to build it until the conference semifinals. So I think it'll be a step forward on that. I do think we maybe reserve judgment. That said, we need to get it like clear that this is not the same three game series that we had 20 years ago. 20 years ago, it was first to 5 points, 3 points for a win, 1 point for a draw. So these games could end in draws 20 years ago. It was a mess. I hated it so much. This is like literally like you have to win best 2 out of 3, whether the win comes in regulation or via penalty shootout. So that's why John McCarthy, Tim Melia, other you know, superb shot stoppers in terms of penalties have a little bit.
Oh, my God. Charlie's on this show?
Yeah. Someone's lawn care team is out there.
Well, we always joke about where Tom resides. Well, you know where Charlie's at. He's used to having a large crew manicuring his mini garden.
I didn't realize Tom was in that tax bracket.
I didn't either. He, you know, went from a wood grained wall in his parents' basement to, I don't know, the 1%. Good Lord.
Why is there somebody leaf blowing the outside of my apartment door? This is very weird.
They saw you come out in the velour jumpsuit. They know to have respect for the family.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, turn it off. Don't make Tom come out here. Don't make Tom come out here. He might make us pay protection. All right, Tom. Any thoughts? We talked a lot about the three game. Any thoughts about, you know, what is staying the same from conference semis, finals, MLS Cup?
Yeah, I mean, and even before that, like, there is a concern about maybe like lessening the importance of the regular season. And I think that's a fair concern, except the end of the playoffs is the same as last year, which I loved. The single elimination and the higher seed gets to host. So you, again, if you're finishing top of the conference, you're, the road is just home games once you get to the conference semifinals and the finals. So I do really like that. I enjoy that that's something that you can stick to. And I know that I'm coming around on it being cool that every team's going to get a home game that gets through the wild card game. But like, I do really like rewarding regular season excellence and making that as important as possible. And we still have that as the playoffs go on after that best of three series. So I like that.
Now, look, I understand out there listening, people are going to immediately have a very strong reaction, opinion, viewpoint.
On social media?
Yeah. Really? You know, we'd love to hear them. At Extra Time, at @Andrew_Weeby on Twitter. I always ask for mail ahead of shows. So, look, we'll hear your takes on Thursday. You can also email us, extratime@mlssoccer.com. We get some great stuff in there. So, yeah, hit us up. Let us know. We're here to talk about it, and it's going to be a big story the rest of the way. It certainly is. You know how we're going to measure success for a lot of teams? What gives them an opportunity to win MLS Cup, which is the ultimate goal? All right, let's get into some real quick transactions. They got snuck in before opening day, before we had our award predictions. Dave, I'm going to get you, combining two that you know well, Brandon Cervani of Toronto for Jesus Jimenez and an international slot for 2023. This kind of came out of nowhere, but we knew Toronto needed midfield depth.
It came out of nowhere, but it immediately was a both these teams needed what the other one had. And so, yeah, it made sense. When you look at Brandon Cervantes' numbers on Football Reference, they almost mimic Mark Anthony Kaye. So you bring in depth to like for like replace. You bring in depth probably to fill in if you want to change the way you play a little bit. Cervantes is a player that I think has been good as a starter at moments, hasn't been a starter most of his career in MLS. So he's going to sit somewhere between being the backup that we thought Jaden Nelson would be across a couple spots. But then you look at Jesus Jimenez and what he can bring to Dallas. And I think what we saw last year at his best moments is his ability on the ball. And I think that makes him flexible. So when we talk about Jesus Ferreira is not a true nine, but is he a 10? Is he a winger? Legette's coming in. You've got Alan Velasco now who you want to be on the ball more. I think Jesus Jimenez can just fit with a lot of guys because he's got a high IQ and a clean touch. And your hope is that the beginning of last season is who he is. Because reminder, he played the Polish league all the way through to MLS and he fell apart the second half of the year. And we're not sure if it was the arrival of the Italians and the change of the game or if he just physically fell apart because he'd played pro soccer for 18 straight months. So I think this is a really good gamble for Dallas because I still want that DP spot to be either a high level center back or more likely a high level D mid. And I think this gets them the goals they need without wasting that spot.
I just want to make two real quick points on this. First of all, Cervania, I think, comes in as the backup for Kay and to a lesser extent, Osorio. And obviously Toronto needed that. I still think Cervania's ceiling is if he learns to be a six. And I think that, you know, with Bob Bradley, who has a very good history of developing young players and playing under Michael Bradley, who's been a six for a long time and has a sort of a similar approach to the game because Cervania can spray to, you know, he could hit a lot of different passes. So I think that that's a very good landing spot for him to potentially hit his upside. And as for Jimenez, I was not a big fan, but it was interesting to see Nico Estevez's quotes after the deal was done. He was talking about saying, yeah, it's not necessarily just a backup for Jesus Ferreira. It's someone who could play with Jesus Ferreira. And I've said on the show a million times, I think Ferreira's ultimate landing spot as a player is in the Driussi role, is in like a sort of a 10, sort of a second forward, a guy who creates but doesn't get on the ball and orchestrate things necessarily, not battling with center backs. This gives them the flexibility to test that out, especially if the midfield is as lacking in final third dynamism as it was last year.
And can I just say, the one thing from Dallas fans I've seen the feedback is like, well, you lost depth in central midfield, but you didn't, because sort of to what Doyle said and the way these guys can play, Jesus Ferreira is that depth, right? If Paxton can't go or Legette can't go, Jesus Ferreira is going to start in either a second forward role or as one of the two eights, whatever it is. This team has a lot of flexibility now, I think, that they didn't have before with probably higher quality in their prime.
I do expect one more midfield signing, though. They just need one more body to get in there.
Galaxy needs some bodies, needed a winger for sure. Tyler Boyd is in the fold. We've been watching him from afar for a long time. Going to be cool to see him up close and personal. And then, of course, Julian Araujo transferred to Barcelona. They needed a right back, especially if they were going to try to play Jovalic and Chicharito together up top. It seems like they are going to get 20-year-old Fluminense right back Lucas Caligari. He's a I've not watched this dude play, but he's got 80 like first team appearances for Fluminense. He's $5 million rated overall in transfer market. Take that for whatever you want to take it for. Tom, reporting on that one. Give me the quick breakdown.
Yeah, the agreements were all reached in terms of a loan. It would be loan with a purchase option. The total package would be like $2.3 million in between loan fee and purchase option. He's almost definitely a U22 initiative signing. And again, he's a kid that has 80 first team appearances with in Brazil. And he kind of slots right in for Julian Araujo. Julian Araujo was on a U22 initiative slot before he left.
That is a like for like, and it lets them keep playing the way it seems like they might want to. Caps officially signed Sergio Cordova. I don't know. Do we need to give this a ton of air here, Doyle? Where are you going to take the Golden Boot draft?
I mean, we've talked about it. Cordova is great at running in behind. He bought in on the being a center forward in the second half of last year. And in Pedro Vite, the Caps have a number 10 who loves to hit through balls. It's just a plug and play type of signing.
And Tommy Scoops, we know that guy, says that, man, you are scouting Georgi Petrovic, who was an absolute stud against Orlando. It was like kind of the classic Matt Turner New England result matrix of, hey, we're going to lose the XG battle, but we have a goalkeeper that's a monster, and he's going to keep us in it, and we'll find a couple goals. It would not be surprising to see Georgi Petrovic not be in the league for a full season, but we shall see. Okay, enough of ignoring producer Anders. On to our award predictions. Here we go. We're going to start. We're going to do all the traditional categories. We're going to give ourselves 3 minutes. Otter's going to have the timer running, and then we'll do the extra time categories at the very, very end. So we'll start with newcomer of the year, Tom Bogert. You're on the clock.
I'm very torn over what the pick is because I think that there's a clear top four, and I'm sure you guys are going to name the other names. So I'll just go ahead first with Portland Timbers club record signing Evander. He was leading the Europa League in assists before he left. He's in the prime of his career. He's had a lot of goal contributions in Denmark as sometimes playing as like an eight. He's going to be a 10 for this team. That attack is going to put up numbers. They're going to have to put up numbers to win games. So I think that he between fit, ability, and readiness to kind of adapt to a new league, I think Evander's the best bet.
Almost hit us with a weeby list.
I have lists for all this, and I'm trying really hard not to say it because then we're going to blow past the whatever.
What
three,
is
four
the
minutes.
Qualifications, by the way? Like, would Sergio Cordova count?
No.
Would Grueso be a
newcomer?
No. Grueso would not count. Needs to be new to the league this year. So now that you know the qualifications, Dave, who's your guy?
Poking holes. I'm going to go with Enzo Capetti. I'm pretty high on what Charlotte can do. Tom has given us all the accolades all offseason about what Charlotte's bringing in. But when you look at what they were able to produce, I think last season, Swiderski in the 10 role for a longer time. Your hope is the wingers are settled in. They're already starting the year, I think, a step ahead of where they were last year. The expectation is this is a guy who will score goals for them, and that's what he's done when he's been healthy. So it's a risk, but all of these are risks.
Doyle?
No, you go, Weeby. You go third.
No, Doyle, you go right ahead. No,
it's like
all
Kyrie
you.
And
all
Luka
you.
Passing it back and forth and not getting a
shot.
No,
it's all you. It's all you.
Lionel Messi.
Oh, I thought I was going to save the card for the end, and Doyle was a step ahead.
Let's go.
God, what am I doing here? When somebody passes you the rock, man.
Do I even need to explain
your numbers? Get your numbers.
Oh, that's fire.
I mean, there's a lot of newcomers we've had in the past. I mean, like, you know, I think back to some of the classics like Pipa Higuain that have come in and just like taken the league by storm and boom, they're the newcomer of the year.
Did Cucho win last year?
No. Last year was Thiago Almada was last year.
I thought Gareth Bale won.
Yeah, Thiago Almada.
I just want – so the point with Messi is obvious. If he comes midseason –
The point with Messi is
like he's going to win every award that that he can – possibly be up. He might be goalkeeper of the year on top of everything else. But if you force me to pick a guy from season start, Duncan Maguire. Gonna go way out on that limb.
Wow. We have the rookie of the year extra time category. That could be a good one for that. I do have a list. I won't run through it. I'm gonna choose one. I'm gonna choose Gigi Giacomakis from Atlanta. I just think that he has sort of a profile and a personality and the service behind him to score a ton of goals this year. And if Atlanta go from non-playoff team to playoff team and he scores 15, let's say, the amount of publicity on him is going to be absolutely huge. With the buzzer, Ojeda in Orlando, because I had to put my money where my mouth is.
I just want everybody to note that I put Leo Messi and Duncan Maguire in the same category to start the year. I'm pretty proud of that one.
Van Zier's the other.
Yeah, I was going to say that was the next one. And look, only attackers win this award, so he's not going to win, but I think I'm
Anders, let's go. Okay, let's hit the young player of the year here. That one is going to you, Doyle. Jesus Ferreira was the winner of the Young Player of the Year last year. And if people want to know what the Young Player of the Year is versus the 22 or 22 Player of the Year, Young Player of the Year can turn 22 in the calendar year. So can turn 22 during the year 2023. You got to be obviously under 22 for 22 under 22. So take it away, Doyle. Who's your guy?
It's right there in the name. Last year's 22 under 22 winner was Jesus Ferreira. He is eligible for Young Player of the Year still. He is not eligible for 22 under 22. That said, I'm picking Thiago Almada. I know that Atlanta have looked kind of like a disaster in preseason thus far, but that's been more on the defensive side of the ball. On the attacking side, they've been a lot better. I think Giakoumakis and Derek Etienne Jr. were very good signings because it's two guys who don't need the ball to be effective. They're going to put more of the game at Thiago Almada's feet. I think he's going to have a role with Atlanta that's similar to how we've seen Nico Ladero play for the past almost decade in Seattle. And I think after, you know, a year of adjusting to the league with the kid's obvious upside, yeah, he's the young player of the year, man. And he turns 22 in April. So officially, yes, still eligible.
That's my pick. I think Thiago Almada is going to have a huge season. You know, coming off obviously sort of a pinch me, make your life, make your career, make everything moment at the World Cup. But if you look at some of the underlying numbers last year, like just in terms of shot creating actions, like, and ultimately that's what it's all about. You're trying to, from an attacking perspective, whether it be via pass, the dribble, or receiving the ball and shooting it yourself, you're trying to create goal scoring opportunities. So I'm putting it all in on Thiago Almada.
So I have FC Dallas second in the West. I don't think Ferreira's numbers will be where they were last year, but I think the team will perform at that high level and he will continue to be a central part of it. So that felt, I agree with everything you're saying on Almada. And I think the Almada stuff will pop because the jump for Atlanta could be really large. But I think Jesus Ferreira will be in the running pretty much to the end. I'm offended that no one here picked an 18-year-old South American player that will not play until August, because I can't believe you guys are that ridiculous, but I guess we could stick with names who play in MLS.
Well, look, we all missed John Duran last year, so I don't think there's that guy this year. But Tom, maybe you have a list that you can read for us.
I don't want to hit the buzzer. No, but because I'm Thiago Mata for Young Player of the Year. But Jesus or Talis Magno might be another shout. But well, I think we'll talk about.
So I actually think Talis Magno is less likely to win it than his teammate, Gabby Pereira. I think Gabby Pereira on that right wing for NYCFC, like that guy could end up being not just Young Player of the Year, but Best 11.
You see NYCFC Twitter folk? You've bullied us into giving Gabby Pereira his flowers.
Not really. We were pretty high on. Didn't we put him top five wingers?
Yeah, we did. I was just trying to, you know, trying to lure them in, trying to draw them closer, put an arm around them, and say thank you. Okay, 2022. That's you, Dave. Do we have overlap here in your mind? Maybe we can make this one quick.
Not really, because most of the guys we said are on that. They are 22 years old. Will be, you know, are all out of that in Almada and Jesus Ferreira. I think Talis Magno is the obvious one, because he's a big signing, he's a big name on a big team, he's going to play a huge role, and obviously Doyle's love for Gabby Pereira goes in there. There's a couple
incorrect,
other...
Incorrect.
What?
He's Gabby Pereira is not eligible for 22 under 22.
Then I don't care. I didn't have him on my list, so I was just trying to help you there. There's a couple other big signings, but I went mainly with domestic names, I think, because it's just where I ended up. And I'm going to go with Aiden Morris. I think he's going to be the starter the entire year. I think Columbus is going to be really good. I think there's going to be a clear difference between what he brings to the team this year versus what they struggled with over the last 2 years. So that's one of the big names I have. Owen Wolf, I think, is going to have a huge year for Austin.
Which is your pick?
And Darren Yappe is my other one, so that Tom can't be the first one to say.
Did you make a pick?
Yeah, Aiden Morris. That was my pick.
So I would like to point out that it's been Ricardo Pepi, center forward, Brendan Aaronson, attacking midfielder, Diego Rossi, winger, Alfonso Davies, left back, Miguel Marone, Kyle, like the players who win this award are forwards, are attackers. So like for me, like that's where I would go with Talis Magno for this, just because he's proven and has all of that talent, like at plus the production in MLS. But Alan Velasco would probably be my second choice.
Do you think that Magno would be just an odds-on, far and away the favorite if he was going to play at left wing instead 100%. Of as a false nine? Yeah,
I think this wouldn't be a discussion.
Yeah, like the only thing that makes me hesitate on Talis Magno is the fact that I think he's playing out of position. But it took Tate Castellanos a couple of years to find the right spot in MLS. Maybe that's what we're seeing with Talis Magno here for NYCFC. I'm going to go down the list a little bit. I have to admit that I'm being probably too influenced by what I saw in brief cameos last year and then in the second half of the Revs game against Orlando City. You guys know who I'm going to say.
Nuck if you buck, man.
Yeah, this kid, Noel Buck, so legit, so smooth, receiving the ball in traffic. He does that high-level stuff where he's actually throwing a move at the defender before he's actually receiving the pass. He absolutely smoked Wilder Cartagena a couple of times in that second half. And Wilder Cartagena, he's a in his prime, international caliber D-mid who's played all over the world. Like, this is not some college kid that he was shaking off. Like, he was just owning that dude. And he changed the game for the Revs. And I think there's a chance that he's going to win that starting number eight role next to Matt Polster. And frankly, I really like Jack McGlynn. I like Nico Sakiris a lot. Krimashi in Miami. Like, these are high level kids. Buck's younger than them. I think he's better than them already. As a all around player.
Yeah. Yeah. Alan Velasco is going to be my pick on this one. Most of the chance creation came through that left side for Dallas. And you just like, I'm betting on a big David Goss theorem jump from Alan Velasco, just 20 years old, incredibly talented. I think he's sort of been left behind in a lot of the conversations that center around Thiago Almada and Tyus Magno, et cetera. I don't know who would be having those conversations or leaving him behind.
You're not picking Cade Cowell?
I thought you'd pick Cade Cowell. I don't know if he'll be around the whole season.
That's a good show.
But I'm really excited to see him. And I don't know what's going to happen, but I hope it happens. He showed those flashes. Let's see more than just flashes. Let's see it sustained. Sorry, Anders. I know we're stretching you here. All right, Allstate Goalkeeper of the Year. Okay, nice. Throw it in. I like that. Allstate Goalkeeper of the Year. I can't get past Georgi Petrovic. Like, if we're just doing on who's the best goalkeeper in MLS, he is the clear and obvious, like, just right, like, chisel it in stone. Where I get a little bit iffy, Tom, and maybe you can help us with this, is whether he'll be here all year. If he is here all year, I'm not going to bet my house on it, but I would discuss it with Mindy. Will he be here all year?
Are you renting? You can.
I'll bet their house. I'll bet their house on it.
As the landscapers go in front of the window. Great. It depends. If the right offer comes in, it would be more than Matt Turner, which was like around $7 million up front. I think you guys just need to take it away. Good.
Nothing, man, Tom, you got to learn how to power through. It's a long season, 34 games.
Nothing flusters Tom like a landscaper. So if you're trying to throw him off his game, just like go with a trimmer and just do laps around his house.
I just threw a pen at the window for those who aren't watching. So Petrovic, it depends. There's been no official bids or contact from Manchester United, but they've been there a whole lot to scout him. So I think that just shows the quality of teams. Like Doyle was saying, big, big club. Like last year, that was the expectation for when he leaves. And this is to show that, yeah, like big, big clubs like Manchester United are scouting him.
So, Weeby, I would throw in, there's actually two issues with it. One is, will he be here? And the other is, will they be good? Because I do think if Philly wins CCL and their lead and they win Supporters Shield and Andre Blake's the captain and he's the guy and he's the name, I think it's Andre Blake's award to lose because of the competitions he's in and the status he has. He can choose to win it, right? If Philly wins and he wins, he will win it. And I do think there's a chance that the Revs are farther down the standings where Petrovic's numbers say he's the biggest difference maker, but they're giving up more goals and they're lower in the standings. And some people can't see past that. I will throw Brad Stuver's name in again. I think at some point
he's been really good.
The passing numbers with him on top of the goalkeeper numbers will shine through and people will respect him for what he did. And I do think with the change in center back, if Austin can stay at the level they were at last year, I think he'll start to get some of that shine.
I agree on the Stuver one. And I think that one's like, and politically, when you think about awards, and look, that's part of it. Voters have to be convinced. You have to make a case. If Austin are good again, and they're still allowing like more chances than the average great team in MLS, and he's the reason why, and he's in all these high like profile, high leverage positions making those saves. His story could get there. His play is already
PK shootout specialist now.
Here we go.
Yeah, well, and one kind of dark horse out, I think, along that narrative timeline, narrative argument, Martin Paas. If Dallas are top three in the West and they're playing, like, he's a very good goalkeeper, I think that's another one that could kind of build again. Like, voter fatigue for Andre Blake, he's already won it three times. It's difficult to keep winning the same award.
Lifetime Achievement Award for Stephen Fry as well. If the Sounders bounce back and have a really good year, which I think they're going to, he's never won this award. He should have maybe about 7-8 years ago, I think 16 or 17. So that could happen.
Any other names?
Anders just cut the buzzer. If you're talking about Stephen Fry, there is no buzzer.
10 seconds. 2 minutes. No, 2 minutes. You got plenty of time.
Petrovic is the big favorite. in this category.
That was such a quick trigger. That was so good.
I love the Anders behind the scenes ability to affect the show in a very real way. It's some good stuff. Okay. All right. Defender of the year. Jakub Glesnes won this last year. This goes to what you're talking about, Dave. Like, they're just going to, their goals against is going to be so low, and they're going to rack up the points. And when you do that, it's award time for your players. Who do you got in this one, Doyle?
The Philly guys are probably favorites, but I was just talking about how I think the Sounders are going to have a really good season. And Honduras is just dying for me to say Jackson Reagan, but it's Yaimar Gomez and Andrade. I think if the Sounders bounce back 65 points, one of the best defenses in the league, he is going to end up winning this award, and he will probably deserve it because he's very, very good.
That was my pick as well. I agree on Seattle. I also think even with them being bad and up and down, he's been in the running.
Guys, so like Anders is juiced in the chat right now. Like, it's so, all caps from
alert,
Anders.
Yeah, alert. We're in all caps territory.
So he's been pretty close anyway, and I think he's going to be a clear one if Seattle's good. I will throw out a shout for Kamal Miller. I think he's gotten the notoriety now with the way he played with the national team and what Montreal did last year. It's obviously, this ends up being team specific, but some of his numbers are outliers in his ability to affect the attack as well as what he does defensively.
We have like these duos that we, you know, something like, okay, look, the guys in Philly, you go either way. Like, and we did last year. Some of us said Jack Elliott. Some of us said Janssen. Or excuse me. Well, I just gave my pick away. Glesnes. I'm going to sort of bet on the double duo in Orlando and Antonio Carlos and Robin Janssen. New left back, the right back in Halliday is a little inexperienced, but he had a nice preseason performance. I just think that Janssen in particular jumps off the page in a lot of different ways, both without the ball and certainly with the ball. And I think Orlando are going to be very, very good. I know the MLSsoccer.com predictions were pretty like variable on Orlando, and we'll get
to that. David, why do you hate Phillips?
We'll get to that. Yeah,
I actually had them first, but Brad told me not to, so I slid them down.
Got you. Easily.
You always listen to a record goal score, you know?
I'm going to say Robin Janssen. What do you think, Leaf Blower FC?
Yeah, I mean, the obvious names, we haven't hit Walker Zimmerman yet. These are all going to be like Miles Robinson if he bounces back pretty quickly.
That's a good one.
That would, but I mean, for me, if Cincinnati are as good as me and Doyle think that they're going to be, and the defense is better, like Matt Miazga is going to be in this conversation. So I'll kind of go off the board with Miazga.
So the other one I think is kind of obvious is Aaron Long. I know Murillo's been in the conversation before, and I know LAFC have pieces besides him, but if he moves and they're good after losing a lot of names, and maybe even more if Cifuentes leaves at some point, I think Aaron Long is going to re-enter that conversation if he has a high season.
The guy replacing Aaron Long in New York has a better shot than Aaron Long. If Andres Reyes plays 2,500 minutes, he will absolutely be in this conversation.
This is one of the greatest turnarounds ever. I have never heard someone rag on a player in a signing as much as Doyle and Andres Reyes for two teams. And if it turns around
he was terrible for
defensive player of the year, it will be the greatest moment in MLS.
David, you get new information and you can change your mind, right?
Yes.
You don't have to believe the same thing on Thursday that you believed on Tuesday, no matter what happened Wednesday.
Monday you're able to plant a flag that looks really good on Saturday, but nobody remembers at that time, it's even better that way.
As Anders says, never take the L.
Exactly. Coach of the year, Jim Curtin was our winner last year. Dave, who's our winner this year?
I think it'll be Nonce. I think he was close last year. I think he has the conversation already around him, and it will be obvious, right? If Columbus is any good, if they're a playoff team, they're contending for trophies, it will be all on him because there isn't a ton of roster changeover on that team because Cucho came last year and everything else. So I think Nonce, if he imprints his style, if he's successful quickly, I think there'll also be the convo of, well, he's done it with two teams. Like, he's a clear, great coach in this league. So I think it's his to lose.
I like that one. Doyle, I know you've been spamming the group chat with just like, hey, Columbus looked really good this preseason. Mm-hmm. And I'm not super surprised about that. He walks into a team with Cucho and Zelrayan and a pretty good foundation, even if we have questions at center back. I'm going to go the other side of hell is real. I'm going to go Pat Noonan, who also had his name in that conversation. Cincinnati are one of the teams that I'm like, hey, they're going to be really, really good. And I'll have some more hints on that later in these award predictions. but given their history, given the fact that I think they'll finish at least in the top three of the East, maybe higher, Pat Noonan is my pick for this one.
He was going to be my pick as well. So I should not have let you go before me, but that's okay.
You got Messi. Look, you get, which one would you rather have, Messi or Pat Noonan?
All due respect to Pat Noonan, and I would like to have, you know, Messi in that conversation. So since he's one of the teams I'm thinking of for the Shield, given that I just lost out Pat Noonan, I'm going to go with the head coach of one of the other teams I'm thinking of for the Shield. It's Brian Schmetzer time. It's Brian Schmetzer time.
So wow.
Just like with Stephen Fry, I think if this team has a big year, then Schmetzer is going to get his due as a regular season head coach.
Can I ask how many leaves can possibly
survive? I don't understand. There's no trees like on this, well, this apartment complex.
He lives in a forest, man.
It's the garden.
The life of the beach. There's not that
Thomas
much nature.
Hobbit.
It might be the helicopter landing on the pad back.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
On the roof. Building. Yeah.
The chopper.
I can't take a, like when we would do shows, like I need to do it somewhere else, like late at night, or like my girlfriend would kill me because like the walls are so thin and it's just, and I'm loud, as you guys know. But yeah so
we go from having choppers on the roof to like, look, my walls are uninsulated. Yeah. It's very difficult here. Yeah. Okay, go ahead. Who's your coach of the year?
I'll go Greg Vanney, because again, the Galaxy are a team that I'm very high on in the Western Conference. I think that you need to have the pedigree, like you guys said with Nance. Greg Vanney's been around a while. He's very well respected. If they finish top of the West or something close and they're playing good soccer, he's going to be in the conversation.
Is there any way Jim Curtin can win this again?
I don't think so.
I thought there was no way he could have won it last year.
75 points, Leagues Cup, and the Shield.
CONCACAF Champions League.
Yeah.
What about Tarantula? We haven't said his name. He just won the double in his first year. I know it's a little uncertain, but like they're going to They got Buonga.
Yeah, this is one of those awards that
respect the buzzer.
It's pretty much dictated by where your team finishes.
Respect the guy in the Galaxy jersey. Yeah, cut that LAFC combo short. He'll be there. We'll see.
I got the LAFC jersey right over here. I'll throw it right on. It's okay. Fine.
Yeah, do what you
got
to do. Do what you got to do. Maybe stitch them together. Stitch them together.
Let's go. Come on.
Yeah, like Travis Kelce's mom style and Jason Kelce. Just make one. Okay, I have comeback player of the year, which Gonzalo Higuain won last year, and you know, congrats to him. Was not my vote, and I didn't think that there was a ton of justice in that.
Oh man,
Gio Paulo is my pick. I think it's pretty clear. Ooh. We're talking about Seattle Sounders making this, you know, jump back up.
I gotta stop letting Weeby go in front of me.
Gio Paulo, this one's a very
Paulo
obvious
was
one,
the obvious one. The it's guy was an MVP obvious. Finalist and missed the full year. I think to me the other obvious one's Alan Pulido. He missed all of last year. If he comes back, and I think SKC will be
not
good
even
this
gonna,
year.
Not even going to start.
I think that's fine. He's going to play a lot of different roles for them. He seems to be an obvious one as well.
My obvious one is Miles Robinson. And yeah. I think that, again, you talk about the narrative that comes into every award, but particularly this one. I think that they can play on the he got hurt right before he was going to go to the World Cup, and he still bounced back, and you know, he's great and all this. So Miles Robinson would.
Based off last year, it's either going to be Ace or Veroni. It's going to be someone who
Joseph
could be
no,
one.
That's a good shout.
Yeah.
I think those three that we named are or Douglas Costa, if we're going from, you know, the Ben Bear comeback player of the year.
Jonathan Osorio could get a shout. He missed a ton of time with injuries over the last few years, and he'll score goals because, again, Tom laid out that goal scorers win everything and then picked Miles Robinson. So, yeah.
not for this one.
Yeah, it could be Reynoso if he comes back midseason.
Actually, yay. Demir Krylock would be an obvious one.
Oh, yeah.
Demir is a great one. Yeah. Yeah. I think we've hit this one hard enough. It'll come from somewhere there. Assist King, Tom. Lucho Acosta was the winner of this last year. It's not official. We made this up.
I'm going with a Lucho back-to-back. That attack's going to be phenomenal, and he's going to be at the center of everything again. He seems back and motivated, so I'm going to go with Lucho Acosta back-to-back.
What if Brenner gets sold midseason? Do you think that matters?
I still think, even if Sergio Santos starts the first few weeks, that they're going to put up numbers. They put up numbers even before Brenner got in the lineup. Like, Brenner's obviously one of the best center forwards in the league. I don't mean to belittle that, and he's going to score a lot of goals. But, again, whether it's Brenner, and the two of three of Brenner, Santos, and Brandon Vasquez are going to score a whole lot of goals. And then if and when Brenner goes, there's going to be another young DP, and it's almost definitely going to be a center forward. So I don't think that Lucho is going to be worrying about people to pass to.
Ooh, Cincinnati. Listen closely right there. Some nuggets. Who you guys got?
I think Carlos Heels up there for this one. If New England bounces back, he's got a really good chance. And it's tough year one, but I'm going to say Evander. I don't really care what they do at center forward.
David's doing lists now.
Yeah.
I don't think.
Yeah, pretty much. I think Santiago Moreno and Jimmy Chara are going to score a ton of goals.
I thought you were going to stay for them as the assist king.
So I'm going
to
say
all the Portland type.
To be fair to lists, three is a list. Two is.
Yeah, I don't think two is a list.
Yeah, two is. You can get away with two. You're not infringing on my territory at two. Once you get to three, though, then we got problems. I'm Carlos Hill as well. The question with Carlos Hill is like, who is finishing? Because the question is not whether he will create chances and shot creation actions, whether his own or, you know, classic MLS hockey assist style. Like when you have Brandon Bye and DeJuan Jones on those wings, a ton of service is going to come from them. And in particular for Brandon Bye, a lot of the balls that play him in behind are going to come from Carlos Hill. He's also just a killer on set pieces. But when you don't have Buxa, when you don't have Tejan, when you don't have Gustavo Bowe, and look, the news on Bowe is that he is coming back this week to New England. He had a green card process that he was going through. That's why he was in Argentina. It wasn't just like, hey, I'm just going to chill out, play charity.
He was so committed. He was playing games to keep.
He was getting his minutes in.
Yeah. Like
that, yeah. I mean, he was there. No Asado, no nothing else.
Oh, yeah, you on Rodolfo Pizarro now?
Yeah, you're on the Pizarro.
No, I am absolutely not.
Messi,
on Rodolfo Pizarro.
Yeah, who's going to set up Messi?
Yeah, exactly.
It's going to be the other way around. It might actually be Messi, right? He'll come in mid-July and end up with 20 assists. No, I'm going to pick Messi's old teammate, Ricky Puig. I think he might be the best player in the league. I think that there's something wildly charming about the Galaxy going into the season, playing a 4-2-3-1 with like a young winger who they haven't developed until now, and really underrated MLS veteran in Memo Rodriguez, Tyler Boyd, who's like this journeyman who clearly has talent but has never put it together, and then a DP, a really well-paid DP that they just want to get rid of. Like, that's their winger depth. Ricky Puig is going to make that work, and Chicharito and Jovalich combined will score 35 goals, and he'll get not just primary assists, but he's even better as a pass before the pass guys. And since everybody else is doing, sorry, not lists, but pairs, I'm also going to shout out Nico Ladero. Nico going to have himself.
You do the buzzer.
A dominant regular season from Nico Ladero.
You heard it right here, Sounders fans. Anders no longer one of you. Landon Donovan, MLS MVP. Heidi Mukhtar won this last year. I, too, have a list here that I will not read, but I will wait to see where you guys go, and we will start.
I'm going first. Ricky Puig.
Oh, no. That's where I was going.
Look, you know what? That's veteran know-how.
Yeah.
I'm gonna elbow you out of the way now.
Draft like in my shadow, Tom. That's the way it goes.
Get out of the way. Look, there's been only one repeat MVP winner, so that makes it unlikely for somebody Hani Mukhtar or Carlos Hill. Six of the last seven have been number 10 type players. six of the last seven. Again, we've already had the Hani Mukhtar argument. I put him as more of a 10 category, but even if you put him as a 9, five of the last seven MVPs have been 10s. The MVP comes from teams who are very good. The last winners are fifth, first, second, first, second, first. And Puig is going to be the best player on that team. So I think all of this kind of sets up for Ricky Puig MVP. And I cannot believe that you stole my thunder. In the pre-show meeting, I said, I want to leave this off because I think I've got some heat. And Doyle just comes
And you
in
did. Around. And look at that. Look at the research you did. Doyle's just like, yeah, I'm taking it. It's Ricky Puig. That's it. No conversation here. Tom's listing off finishes. He's got like a spreadsheet of all the different positions. You know, good try, Tom. Good try. Those coattails, I hope they're strong. Dave, who you got?
Man, that was a whole experience wrapped into one. I don't really feel strongly about this one. And obviously, it normally comes down to team production. But I'm going to say Dennis Bouanga. Obviously, you lose your center forward. I think Cifuentes will be gone at some point. You're going to lose a lot from last year's team. Vela has taken a step back, and I think Bouanga is going to be the one that keeps them towards the top throughout the season. And I think with him, it's going to be goals and assists, so it may not be raw numbers on any one category where he wins the golden boot or anything like that. But I think we saw from last year that he's going to be a difference maker day in and day out in MLS across multiple competitions, right? They've got a bye already in Leagues Cup. They're going to be in CCL. I think that gives him a lot of time.
Do you trust his finishing?
Yeah, I do. I think it'll be there.
I do too.
Doesn't count because obviously landscaping happening in the background. I have two of mine were taken because, you know, I had the list ready in Puig and Buanga. So I'm going to give you my pairing that's left over here. One is, I would say, sort of in the more favorites category, and that's Cucho Hernandez. I just think, you know, though I've sort of harped on this show about how his goal scoring dropped off at the end of the year, I think if you put him in Wilfred Nancy's system and you have Lucas Elrayán behind him and you just let him be direct and play in the box, he's going to score a stupid, stupid, stupid amount of goals, and the Crew are going to jump up the table. And that's sort of the definition of MVP. And then my, like, dark horse, not on talent, but on team results, is Federico Bernardeschi. If Toronto can somehow keep their first team group together and not devolve into the preseason against the Galaxy, like, the world is against us. In particular, we hate this referee, and we're all just going to complain
Weeby doesn't respect the buzzer.
The buzzer is more of a suggestion. It's not a hard.
It's like a waiter. You ask a waiter, you're like, "Hey, what should I get? What do you like on the menu?" And they're like, "This." And I'm like, "I'm going to get that." Like,
we all think that Cincy and Orlando are going to be good. Well, David doesn't think Orlando's going to be good.
So
Lucho should have been mentioned. The question is, Lucho Acosta and
Brandon Vasquez,
Facu Torres, but are they too loaded? Do they have too many other candidates who might bleed votes away from them?
Yeah, maybe. Bernardeschi's probably not going to happen, but on pure talent, like, he might put up Jovinko numbers.
I think it's fair to have Bernardeschi in one of these convos, right? On assists, on goals, whatever it is. Like, he's going to put up crazy numbers. So I think it's fair that he's in this conversation that we just had.
Okay, so let's go to the extra time categories. We have gone through all the official categories. Our first extra time category is the David Akam Dark Horse MVP candidate.
Which you already led with.
Yes. In my Dark Horse MVP, I had Ricky Puig because I thought maybe he was like more of a Dark Horse, but clearly not.
Dark Horse. I had
Belonga in my Dark Horse.
Dark Horse than Bernardeschi?
Yeah, fair. Maybe that was a mischaracterization on my part. Who's Tom? We'll let you have it.
I just want to know how many times you can leaf blow the same area that doesn't have any leaf. No, but I had Buanga.
Tom is absolutely ready to throw hands with that man insane out there right now.
Oh my god. Anders, this is an MVP level performance from you. And if you're Dark not Horse watching MVP on Apple TV, what are you doing?
I had Buanga as my Dark Horse, but I've talked to some other people even before Goss said it, like a couple of the friends said had him as their options as well. So he's not a Dark Horse. Cucho Hernandez might have been one, but again, I don't know if that's too much of an argument. So I'll drop down to where I know it's a Dark Horse, Facundo Torres.
Is it who's gonna have the better year numbers wise? Facundo or Martin Ojeda?
I'd still go with Facu.
Okay. Martin Ojeda looks like a guy, and I was talking to Diego Valeri about it in the studios as well, because I was like, I don't know as much as Diego Valeri does, who played against him with Lanús the last couple of years. Valeri said he's the sort of guy that will shoot literally anytime he gets an angle. And we saw that a little bit against New England. Like, when he has a shot, he's taking that left-footed. Doyle, who's your David Akam Dark Horse MVP candidate?
You guys know the answer, because I said it on this show 2 weeks ago.
Who listens to Doyle?
This is Lewis Morgan.
About to find out.
It's not Lewis Morgan. No, Lewis David's David's answer. It's Willy Agata. There is a world in which Willy Agata
scores Golden Boot
25 goals this year, and Sporting KC are up around 65 points, and all the number 10s kind of bleed off each other's votes. But Agata, like, his numbers can be irresistible, and his overall effect on the team was so profound last year. I think people will notice that going into this year, because he is, like, he's primarily a goal scorer, but he improved that team on the ball, off the ball, and defensively.
If he wins MVP, does Peter Vermees?
They will have an emotional embrace, they will have an emotional farewell, because they will sell this kid for $15 million.
Okay, mine is Thiago Almada. Is that Dark Horse, do you think?
Not really.
You don't think
the guy won a World Cup?
Come on, Weeby.
Yeah. Coming off of Willy Agata, I'll give you credit, because the three of us are all saying, like, Puig or Buanga, or does this count?
Yeah, six goals last year, and I think that's gonna jump. Santi Rodriguez would be another one that I would throw in there. if he's able to sort of pick up Maxey's role and NYCFC don't drop off.
$215 million dollar number 10s. Sure. Like real dark horses.
Who's a New Jersey?
I'll give you actual 10. Dark horses. Oh. I'm going to go because I didn't give any. I'll go out to the Rockies. I'm going to say Demir Krylak or Diego Rubio.
I like it. I like it. This is our category.
And you also said Lewis Morgan.
Lewis Morgan's already tattooed across the chest. I don't say
he's not a dark horse anymore.
It's like Jake LaTava. If you don't know for a neck tat, what are you doing?
Are we going to try to force Weeby to pick an actual dark horse here? Or are we going to let him get away?
No, we should definitely move on very quickly.
D-mid of the year is ours. And we sort of have gone back and forth. It's been the Chris Armas D-mid. It's been the Ozzie Alonso D-mid. I think it was the Shalri Joseph D-mid at one point. Tom, you may choose your moniker, your namesake, and then I also need a pick from you.
I'm shocked that Dola didn't kind of edge in. I know this is his category. He loves the D-mid, but I'm going with Jose Martinez. And I think the Chris Armas D-mid award is good enough for me. I'll go old school rather than new school. But yeah, Jose Martinez is the best defensive midfielder in this sense.
Okay. That's a good one. Doyle, you got any beef? I mean,
he was clearly one of the three best D-mids last year. Philadelphia is going to be awesome again. He'll probably play every minute. He is perfect for how that team plays. It's an obvious choice. It's a good choice. I'm not going to pick it because unlike Tom, I don't copy off of other people's homework. I'm going to stay in the neighborhood, though. I'm going to say Keaton Parks. I'm going to say healthy Keaton Parks playing at the base of that midfield for NYCFC, given that they lost half their starters, including the two guys who have defined this era for them in Sean Johnson and Maxi Morales. I think it's going to end up being Keaton Parks' team, and I think they're going to be really good largely because of him, and he will get recognized by us, not by voters, because voters never pay attention to D-mids.
Well, this is the beautiful thing about these awards.
It's political. Who's it going
to
be?
Yeah, we get to choose.
Storylines, like there's only politics here are like the four or five or six or however it ends up here staffing-wise voting block of extra time. We'll have more news on that.
I won't be voting for Keaton Parks because James Sands will win the award.
I love that. I love that take.
That's my strong take. But the two names I actually have down are Obinna Nwabodo. And as everyone has said here, high hopes for FC Cincinnati. Doyle will disagree that he is a D-mid. So Doyle will not vote for him at the end of the year. But we'll see when we get there. And Andres Kubas is the other one. I think he was arguably the best D-mid in the league.
Then I'm going to throw Zhao Paulo into my picks as well.
Come on, you just took me down from a list to a pairing because I had a full list.
I'm following the rules, Andrew.
Okay. Well, that's fine. Now we're down to a pairing for me. So I get Zhao Paulo.
Keaton Parks and Zhao Paulo. Yeah, yeah. You don't get to have Zhao Paulo.
That's fine.
Tom only gets one pick because he's a rookie. It's how it works on this show.
It's, you know, look, it's hard to make picks when you're carrying the bags. I have two then. Gaston Brugman and Cesar Araujo. So if I'm betting on Orlando, I got to bet on him. I think Araujo is one of the most underrated young players in the entire league. And then we saw Gaston Brugman last year, the way he elevated that team. They did a great job in the summer, and obviously they needed to because this summer there will be no job to do for the LA Galaxy. So that's our Chris Armas D-mid of the year.
By the way, mine's named Shalri Joseph because I'll always respect Shalri.
Got it.
I mean, Shalri was not a D-mid.
I agree, but Weeby put it out there, and I'm going to say his name if it's an option.
Yeah, come on, give it.
I 100% agree with you that was a mistake from Weeby, but once you give me the opening, I'm going to come through.
Here we go. The Matt Doyle Juan Agudelo Award. It's this guy's year, I swear. We're also considering a rebrand on this one to the David Goss Mason Toy Award.
Play those Macarenas, baby.
Yeah, Mason Toy was one of the guys I had on my list for this. So if you want to have Mason Toy, Dave, he is all yours. I've got another name I can go to.
I don't think I can avoid it if I'm... We're potentially going to name the category after it. So I'm all in. It's the year. It's the year.
The year for Mason Toy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you see the preseason highlight of him just absolutely? I don't remember who it was against, but maybe RSL?
No, I think it was cooked. Against Montreal.
No, that was an interest for Montreal.
Montreal versus Montreal.
No, I thought it was interesting.
No, yeah.
No, I think it was against. I don't know who it was against. Anyway, he cooked somebody's back line, perhaps even his own.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. He looks good. He looks strong. Looks fit. Stay fit. Please, Mason. We want to see the goals from you.
Does anyone else have one?
I have one, yes. Efra Alvarez is my... It's this guy's year, I swear. Efra scored a beautiful left footer against Toronto in preseason. Let's not put too much into preseason results.
He has scored four goals in preseason, which is one fewer than Kevin Cabral scored last year. So this is a really good choice, Weeby. Really good job.
He's always been this guy that on talent, we look at and say, it's got to be his year. Can the Galaxy get it out of him? And if you talk to people in and around that team, they've said for a while now that they think he should play a little bit more. He should probably have better professional habits as well. And I saw it came out. He said that he's working with some fitness and basically to get in better shape for the full season. So that's a good sign. Talent, never, ever has that been a question. And they don't have wingers. I mean, Douglas Costa, I guess that he's there and now Tyler Boyd. But if he is able to play 75 minutes a game, and he can show his talent in the way that we know he can, then I see no reason why it can't be his year.
I actually do like this pick, and I think I agree with all that. I'm going to go to the other coast, though. Derek Jones, I've been waiting on this kid to break out since the 2017.
This might be the Matt Doyle Derek Jones Award, honestly.
Like. U20 World. And everybody who I know who knows the kid has said the talent is unquestionably there. This is, people in Philly, people in Houston, now people in Charlotte. The talent is unquestionably there. He just had, issues locking in professionally and being in the right situation. And what we saw over the back half of last season playing for Christian Letanzio in that very sort of CFG style approach for Charlotte, Derek Jones was awesome. He was awesome. And it could be like a Brandon Vazquez type of thing. Former U.S. youth international, doesn't find the right situation until his mid-20s. And then once he hits it, we're talking an international caliber player.
Jared on Shaqiri. I have to. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to take you out.
You love your Liverpool guys.
Oh, that's good. This is not in the official rundown. I added it, but if anybody has a shout, we can do it. The fullback outside back of the year. I'll start what you guys think. I teased
this
a little bit.
Did we do this last show?
Did we? Well, we ranked him.
Oh, got it. Sorry.
Yeah. Anders is threatening me in the chat, so I'll just do mine then, just for fun.
Cool.
Christian Arias in Cincinnati.
Cool.
Santiago Arias. Sorry. I don't know how I mixed that up. Yeah. Anders. Okay. Santi Arias, and I won't tell you any more than I think he has a super high level and he's coming into a team that desperately needs him.
Forced in a category and said the wrong name.
Don't you mute me, Anders. I see you threatening. Don't you mute me. All right. The new Who player of the year, the player that we're watching and backing for our brand. Let's see. I'm between a pairing of Matias Pellegrini and Kevin Cabral, two former DP play your kids, young guys that just absolutely went flop city.
This is your brand?
Yeah. My brand is that I want everyone to succeed and they have not succeeded.
Okay. Got it.
So
a beauty pageant.
I think Matias Pellegrini, correct me if I'm wrong, has been playing in preseason as a central midfielder.
Well, it's because their only options at that position is a winger, him, or a 14-year-old child.
Yeah.
Then this is my brand. He's got an opportunity, Matias Pellegrini. He's my guy.
Start week one
or Kevin
play
Cabral
the rest of the year, and Weeby's going to finish the year being like, I think Pellegrini should win this award. I will go. I obviously have to say Lewis Morgan for MVP. That clearly has stuck to me. The other, I could then name any academy kid. Anyone who's come out of an MLS academy, which I have a list of if you'd like me to do, but I will only say Danny Flores here. Shout out to Danny Flores, legend, Philadelphia Union Academy, Oakland roots, now on SKC.
Tell us about Danny Flores, because, I need a little bit more.
It's just one of those players that you see at GA Cup or at MLS Next Fest, and you're like, I like this the way this guy plays, and then they don't end up on a first team immediately, and so you sort of question, well, why do people value or not value them? And now he's getting his opportunity. So I'm stoked for him.
Yeah, I love that.
It's an obvious one for me, John Tolkien. And with a slight second one to New Jersey, Mario Gomez, Brian White.
Wait, how does Tolkien fit this category?
Well, because his brand is New Jersey.
Brand. Okay. Yeah. And the vibe.
Yeah.
Okay.
The New Jersey Mario Gomez?
Yeah, Brian White.
White.
Oh, I thought you were saying Tolkien. I was like, what am I missing about Tolkien?
I was trying to get in and get out before they go back and leap below the same spot that they'll have anything. Trying to be as efficient as possible.
All right. Go Doyle. It's you.
It's still Jonathan Lewis. I'm just still all in on Jonathan Lewis. The man knows where the goal is. This is the year for Jonathan Lewis.
Hang on. You've been talking about super subs for him for the last 7 years. That's what he's done because he's never won a starting job at the Colorado Rapids.
Is it Paxton Pomykal? Can we throw that one in as well? Just for
Paxton Pomykal MVP campaign.
Okay, there you go. I'm going to give that one to Tom, but Jonathan Lewis.
That's here. Don't pawn this off on me.
Okay, Dom Baji, first-time double-digit scorer. David Goss.
So there's the obvious ones are people who are coming into the league because they've never played in Major League Soccer.
Yeah, but I don't think they've double-digit scored outside the league. You can't.
Okay. I'm not going to go that route. It doesn't even matter.
Mason,
I'm
going to
go with Kevin Cabral.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Get locked.
I had him, man.
For the Kevin Cabral show. It is the history of the Colorado Rapids to take on assets from other teams, improve their quality, improve their position. I don't know exactly what position Cabral will play. I think he will play as a nine. I think that's good for him, though. He will get on the field a lot. He will play as a nine. He will play as a winger. They will play with two forwards. There's other options in there, but Kevin Cabral is going to get hot. They're going to keep playing him, and he is going to dominate this season for the Colorado Rapids.
I love this because it leaves mine on the board. I thought you might go Mason Toy, so I took Mason off mine. He hasn't scored double-digit goals, but you think he's going to be a starter probably from Montreal, and Hernan Losada likes to play direct. Like, Mason Toy, run at goal, dude. I'm going Dab God. Came up short last year.
That's a good
year.
One, Weeby. That's
I'm
a
going
good
Dab
one.
God. Derek Etienne is my – I'm trying to have rubber stamp on this one because I think Dab God's going to – he's going to go over 10 easy. So Derek Etienne is my choice in Atlanta.
I like that one. The easy way to do this is to say Willy Agata, right? He came in, he played half a season. He finds chances at an absurd rate. It's not really within the spirit of the award or of the category because it's more like guys who've been around for a few years and haven't found the right situation and then do and become really high level scorers. I'm stalling because I don't have a good answer.
I just enjoyed when he said category as he petted his cat. I just, for whatever reason, that landed with
Doyle. Just to make you feel better for not picking him, he scored 15 goals for Hapoel Yerushalayim one time.
There you go. Okay, so
you can't even pick him,
right? I'm going to go with Io then, and Io is a guy who's like Efra in that he's. You know, he hasn't developed in the way that I think a lot of us hoped. I know that Adama Diamande is the starter heading into this season. I don't think he's a 90-minute player, and I think Io has the talent to win that job. And if he stays healthy, he has a talent to be like a 12-15 goal scorer.
Love that Doyle and I just combed through and found the guys that hit 9 goals in a previous season. We're like, yes, I'll choose that guy. Who do you got, Tom?
My real answer is Cade Cowell. I'm kind of all in on this being the year he takes the leap. So that's my real answer. But the bit that I want to get off the ground is that I'm desperately waiting for a center back to score 10 goals. And it has to be a team that plays for set pieces. They're aerially dominant. So Walker Zimmerman's the first that comes to mind. Or somebody like Bill Tuiloma who takes free kicks. Or Jacob Glesnes who gets asked to shoot every time he's within 40 yards from the Philly crowd. So just any center back scoring 10 goals. It's going to happen one day. I don't know if it's going to be this year, but those would be my three suggestions.
We're going snake on this one, even though we won't on the Golden Boot Draft on Thursday's show. This is our final award prediction here. The Aaron Long, good player to all league. Tom Bogert, take it away.
I'm just going to steal Jack Mayer before you guys do, because, again, I think that's an obvious. Anybody playing next to Walker Zimmerman, the life's easier for you. You look Dallas with Matt Hedges. Obviously, these are all very good players on their own. But anybody who's played next to Walker Zimmerman has looked very good. The other shout would be, I think that Alvaro Barrial, if they play back five the whole season at left wing back for Cincinnati, has a real chance to like jump, maybe not quite Kai Wagner, but like ish, like, you know, a top five player at that position.
I will not make a reference to Jack Mayer's nickname. You just, if you listen to the show, you already know it. Give it to me, Dave. What do you got?
What does the snake mean? We're going to keep going and going?
No. There's no, it was just a joke because we went back to back.
Okay, well, yeah. Jack Mayer is an obvious. Most of my list is center backs. I have a long list on this one. So how many can I say? Can I say a pairing? Is that where I'm going
to start with a pairing and then see if you knock anybody else's off and we'll come back to you.
Okay.
Hold on. So God said he had a list and then Weeby's like stroking his beard.
Yeah. He's I'm going to start with Nkosi Tafari. I don't know that he's going to be the starter week one. I think we've seen who Sebastian Abiy is in MLS, and that's not negative. I think he's one of the best rotational center backs in the league, but I think the ceiling for that team is with Tafari as a starter. And then the other one I'm going to go with is Memo Rodriguez. I think he's going to come out being probably the under the radar, like best move of the offseason. He can play different roles. I think Vanny can use him in different ways. And a guy like Victor Vasquez and Sasha Kljestan are gone where there's trust. Cause you talk about Efra, you talk about obviously Kosa, Tyler Boyd. There's no trust there from Greg Vanny. So I think Memo is going to get a lot of opportunities to play in different roles. And I think there's a chance if that Galaxy are high in the West, he will be a big reason why.
Doyle?
Andrew Gutman, left back. I thought he was the best left back in the league down the stretch last year. I thought he was excellent the year before that with the Red Bulls. Like, this is a guy who has national team talent. I would take him right now in a game that we needed to win. I would take him over John Tolkien, and I think the world of John Tolkien. I think that's how good Gutman is. That's one. The other one, can I take Mark Delgado?
Yeah.
Because we had him, I think, third team best 11 last year.
It was
year.
Third, yeah.
Nobody really noticed how great this dude was last year. I think he'll be that from the jump this season. He plays 90 minutes every game. He covers as much ground as anybody. Those are the two.
Had a hit the other night against Toronto, too.
He did. He tagged it.
So I'm going to go with, I have a pairing, obviously, Keaton Parks and Danny Pereira. Two young central midfielders that I think are going to be on a good and then probably a great team. So I think this is probably the year that Danny Pereira makes.
I actually get Keaton Parks in my team because I took him as D-mid of the year.
Felt,
so
you know, when you did that whole rant, I felt that in my heart and was like, I had a good point to make there, and Doyle made the point, so I feel decent about that. But those are mine. Any throw out some names here if we didn't.
Andre Shinyashiki. I think he's going to get a lot of minutes in a few different roles. With that team, that was one. I had Cervania now that he got traded and maybe gets a shot. And Doyle, shout out Andres Reyes, but Sean Neal is the captain.
Yep.
And if it's the Aaron Long track, it's Red Bulls two through Red Bulls. And he's been the consistent for them the last 2 years.
Tui Loma, I think, in Charlotte with his ball carrying and his passing ability, I think that's going to work really, really well. And I think he, you know, as Tom said, he scores some spectacular goals off of set pieces, both getting on the ends of them and banging them in top corner. So I think he'll turn some heads.
Man, how have I not said my guy Milanda in either for my brand or under 22?
See, stuck it in, though.
So angry.
Stuck it in. With Hernan Losada, who likes his center backs to, you know, I get it, Anders. Just let me. Joel Waterman, we love, but hasn't got the credit maybe league-wide. And then I think Aaron Herrera has gotten that credit, but maybe jumping back up to it. Okay, MLSsoccer.com, the season previews are out there.
Oh, I should have said Steven Marrera, because Steven Marrera is playing the Andy Nahar role in Columbus in the sort of the Alistair Johnson role in Columbus for
no buzzer
Wilfred
for
Nancy.
No buzzer for this, Anders. You just buzz
me. Good information. Okay.
I think Anders is defeated at this point.
season care. Previews at MLSsoccer.com. Great work there from the entire crew, from Edgar Acero, Jason Siegel, obviously you, Tom, Doyle,
Jonathan Siegel.
Casey Dunnow, Jonathan. Oh my God. Jonathan, I'm so sorry. We were just talking.
Put Weeby on one Apple show, and he completely forgets the name of the editorial staff.
Jonathan, I'm so sorry.
Andrew.
Great work. Anyway, as part of that, we all made our predictions, and Ben Wright of Speedway Soccer averaged those out because it is laminating season currently around Major League Soccer. A lot of people up in arms over the choices. I have this as an award. Who's going to be the laminator of the year? The team that was picked low, that finishes high, and doesn't let us forget about it. So I have in front of you, and if you want to go see the tweet, Ben Wright on Twitter. What is the laminator of the year?
First of all, shout out Ben Wright. Thank you. Two, I actually thought it was interesting because there was some variance in some spots, mainly East and West. I think it's going to be St. Louis. I think St. Louis is going to be like chip on their shoulder and they're going to win their first game and just start dunking on us. And it doesn't even matter where they finish. So there you go.
Mine's Inter Miami, who the average out and the final result had at 13th in the East. Big variance. Some people had them as high as 6th, other at 14. I think I was the 14. Maybe I'm just not seeing it right now, but the summer could change all that. And if it does and they have Messi and they're making a run, or if this group ends up doing it, I already have Miami people just flooding the mentions being like, you're an idiot. Like, we're going to hold this over you. So I'm gonna think Miami is going to be our laminator of the year. Any other choices, or we have to save?
Minnesota's an obvious one, right? Because everybody has them outside of the top 10, other than I think Kalen Kyle. And if Bebello doesn't come back, and you remember the Bobby Warshaw rant I gave last week, where it's like teams are better without a number 10, and Robin Lud becomes a free eight and does Robin Lud things, and then this team ends up on, you know, 50, 55 points right in the thick of it. We'll hear it, and they'll be right to strut past us a little bit, because we're all down on this team.
All right, trophy draft time. Unless Tom, you have a laminator. No,
we haven't heard from the landscaper in about 20 minutes here, so I'm worried.
He's trying to curry good favor with Andres. I know how this works.
Yeah, you just threw in another category that he didn't have in the pre-show meeting.
It was in the rundown. This tells me that Andres does not read my rundowns. These are very important.
Did you edit when the show started?
For him. No, of course not. 20 minutes, trophy draft. If it goes shorter, great. We have the CONCACAF Champions League, Leagues Cup, U.S. Open Cup, Canadian Championship, Supporters Shield, MLS Cup, and of course the wooden spoon counts as a trophy around these parts as well. We're going to go reverse order of the Golden Boot draft, which conveniently gives me the number one overall pick, and I am going to take the Philadelphia Union off the top.
Yeah, they're winning something.
That's my choice. Philadelphia Union are off the board. Doyle, you're on the clock.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Cincinnati. I just did think that what they showed last year, they were so good in the second half of the season. They have Noboto and Miazga for the whole year. And then your favorite player, Christian Arias, at right back, who will give them such a boost in the attack. Honestly, Santiago, look, Alves Powell and Ray Gattis did really good work covering end line to end line last season, but the final ball is not there with those two guys at wing back. You bring in someone like Arias, who doesn't have to play 90 every week, but he's going to get into spots for 75 minutes where it's like all you need is the final ball, and he has done that for his entire career. I think it's just a perfect fit. It's a way to gas up what was already, 67, 68 goal attack last year. I think they're going to win the Shield.
Tom.
LAFC. LAFC. They're in all the competitions. They're going to be very, very good again. There's a couple question marks with the roster build, but they showed last year that they can figure it out on the fly and continue to change things. It's a proven one. It's an easy one at this stage. With
the Leagues Cup bye. That's a huge bonus. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Snake? Do I go 4 and 5?
We can snake for you on this
one. Nice. Okay. So I'm going to go number 4. I'm going to go with TFC. Because I think they could be in the running for every single trophy. And when I say every single, I mean MLS Cup, Canadian Championship, and the Spoon. Like, if it goes bad, it might go really bad.
I think
if it goes good, it might go great.
All it takes for the Leagues Cup is 1 month. So for sure. I think that could be good. That's a good choice. So, back to you.
So TFC is my 4th pick. Then I'm going to go Seattle with my 5th pick, which is my more – I do think they will contend for most trophies. They have a knockout squad. So you add Leagues Cup in as an opportunity for them to win another one. They've got U.S. Open Cup history. And I think some of you have put them down as a challenger for Supporters Shield. So those are my first two.
Okay. Tom.
I'm going to still stay at what I think is the top of the league. I'll go with the Galaxy.
Just collecting L.A. teams, huh? I like it. Okay. Doyle, back to you. You have Cincinnati and who?
I'm going to say Vancouver. Specifically because they take the Canadian Championship super. All three MLS teams take the Canadian Championship super seriously every year. But this is a really well balanced team. I think they're probably deeper than the other two Canadian MLS teams. And they're the type of team with their firepower. If they get hot, I could see them winning Leagues Cup. Man, this team is legit.
Did you have CCL as part of this?
No, I don't think they can win CCL. I think they can make it. I think they can make a run, but I don't think they could win it.
Got it. Just checking in, just making sure. I'm going to finish this up on the Canada teams, just because like Canadian Championship is a golden opportunity to pick up a trophy. So I'm going to take Montreal. Gives me a nice rooting interest throughout the year. Hernan Losada experience. Here we come. And then I think I'm going to go Austin. We go Austin so that we can enjoy this ride together. Austin
fans. Do you put CCL on this list?
I do. Yeah. Cause I think they have like a warm embrace to start. No offense to the champions in Haiti, but there were some questions as to whether or not they'd even be able to play in that match. But we've seen that bite teams before. I just think with Driussi, with this attacking firepower, what they showed in the playoffs last year, they got a chance at that, and this year is all about trophies, in my opinion, for that entire club. So
I cannot wait to see them against a Liga MX team at home at Q2.
Yeah,
in CCL, like it's going to be wild, electric in that building.
We will get to see my pick, Orlando City, at home against a Liga MX team.
But what will the score be at Tigres. That point? Because they're going to El Volcan March 7th.
So I don't expect them to get past that series against.
Oh, you don't think they'll then beat Pachuca, then beat potentially León to get
it would
to
be,
final?
I mean, it would be the greatest thing that we've ever seen an MLS team do. But I think having that experience will be good for them. I think they're a deeper team than they've ever been, though. I think they need probably one more center back. I love their attack. I love the flexibility. And Oscar Pereja knows how to win in this league. He's won trophies in this league. And he knows how to develop players. So I think that I'm not picking them to win CCL, but I think they got a real good chance of adding another trophy this year.
So that takes all the CCL teams off the board, which takes a competition away. So I'm going to now.
Whoa. It's Tom's pick here.
Oh my God. It's been like 20 minutes since
I should have let him go and just taken him no matter what it was.
Man,
I'm really, I hope I'm right here. I'm really worried about the Chicago Fire. Is that where you were going, Dave?
No, that wasn't. I already went with my spoony.
You're going Chicago Fire.
Yeah. I'm going Chicago Fire.
Wow. It's like taking a kicker in the third round of a fantasy football draft.
For spoon only.
I don't think so.
Leagues Cup. We don't know what's going to happen in Leagues Cup. That could be crazy. Look,
no, Tom, don't let him talk you out of your strategy. You did well. You didn't take my teams, so that was good.
Yeah, I got it.
I'm going to go here with FC Dallas and Red Bulls. I think they're both teams that I think Red Bulls we saw will take Open Cup seriously and push. But this is the year for Red Bulls in my mind. I think it's been a build over the last few years, even though it hasn't looked obvious. Van Zier is the big signing. Struber's still there. A lot of pieces fit together. They have some depth in positions that other clubs don't have that.
How concerned are you about the commitment to the 4-2-2-2, which has never worked in MLS?
I'm as concerned as I believe they will be committed to it, which is very little. So
okay. I mean, they went
out. Off the history of the Red Bulls.
They spent a ton of money on three new forwards. I think they're going to play with two of them, David.
It doesn't seem like Van Zier has to be a center forward all the time. Okay. Plus, he just arrived. How long does it take him? But those are the two teams.
You're welcome, Red Bulls fans. You always complain about us not talking enough about you. Well, here you are being picked in the trophy draft in a decent position. All right, back to you, Tom.
Yeah, Dallas would have been my pick. I was kind of going back and forth which one was going to go through or not. So I'm going to go with Columbus Crew just because that top level talent, they're going to be dangerous in any cup competition. If they get into the playoffs, they're going to be dangerous if they get there. We said this about them last year. We said this about New England last year. Oh, if they make the playoffs, they're going to be dangerous. And then neither made the playoffs. That's why they're available here, but the high upside.
Okay. Doyle?
Yeah, I'm struggling. Most of the picks are kind of off the board, aren't they? DC United's not. This is a spoon pick.
That trombone for DC. Okay, let's see. I'm even split if I go Sporting Kansas City, who I know will take Open Cup seriously, in my first pick on this snake, and then I'm a little less certain after that. I'm gonna go. I'm torn. I think I'm gonna go with the no. I don't. I'm gonna go Charlotte. I'm gonna go Charlotte. You know what? I like what they've done. I think they're gonna have a much better season. I don't know what trophy I think that they're most likely to win, but I'm also picking this for just my enjoyment of following them on their journey. So I'm gonna go Charlotte. Doyle, back to you.
I guess I'll go with NYCFC. I don't think they're going to be a championship caliber team for most of the year, but if things go right with Talis Magno's development as a nine and they get Santi Rodriguez back and they add one more piece in central midfield, this team could be there by midseason. And there's, you know, there's trophies to be won in midseason. So yeah, NYCFC.
Tom.
Portland Timbers. They really need to sign another center back to make this good. But again, we talk about the top end talent in this team. And again, there's going to be a new forward. There could be some news on that at some point soon. I've heard some things are heating up again after conversations elsewhere, you know, kind of ended. And then again, they feel pretty good about getting a starting caliber center back in at some point to add to that group. So yeah, I think Portland's got enough talent.
Now am I up?
Yeah, rapid fire me too, because Anders says we gotta.
I have Atlanta. They're in a Leagues Cup group with a bad Cruz Azul team and Inter Miami. So I think that's an opportunity for them. They've shown in the past decent knockout competition as well as good home field advantage when they have it. And then my other one's going to be Houston. I'm going to go on to the other end with a potential maybe wooden spoon team.
Okay, Tom, back to you.
New England Revolution.
All right, Doyle.
I don't know how you guys even know who's left.
Yeah, we're sifting around.
I'm balling it on myself. I don't know about you guys, but I've got.
I'll go with San Jose.
Is that what's that for?
I mean, I could see them sneaking into the playoffs and getting hot. I could see them doing some damage in the Open Cup. They added a lot of defensive talent to a team that was good in attack but bad defensively last year. So it could come together. It's not going to be a supporter shield thing, but I could see this being kind of a scary team by June, July.
Okay. Real Salt Lake, X-Dog coming my way, and then Inter Miami as both a, hey, Messi's here, we can win anything, and hey, Messi's not here, we're last in the league. So those are my two. How many do we have left? Anders, where are we at here? Doyle's back up.
I'll go with Nashville just because we have been dunking on Nashville all offseason long, and it would be very extra time if a team that we dismissed then like went out and won the U.S. Open Cup or something like that. Mm. So, yeah.
That's a good cup team. We have Minnesota left. St. Louis is left.
I'm taking Minnesota.
Anders, we know that. There's an uneven amount of teams in MLS. Anders just realized that.
Anders gets the last pick, whatever it is.
Didn't we give him like five at the end last time?
Yeah, he got four last year. So everybody has... No, not everybody. One more to get seven, Dave, and then I believe...
Okay, so Minnesota left, and St. Louis are the only two left. I will give Anders St. Louis because I think they'll actually be... I picked them last in the West, but I don't believe in it.
Wait. Who did Tom just pick?
Minnesota.
Yeah.
Oh. So then who's left?
Who are we missing?
St. Louis.
Colorado.
And Colorado.
Oh, it's Colorado. God, I'm so sorry, Colorado.
I'm picking Colorado. Let's go, Rapids.
I'm so sorry. Oh, my God.
Kevin Cabral Nation, Cole Bassett, MVP. It is going to be a huge year. You know my guy Lawless is going to win Defender of the Year. Colorado Rapids.
That's a MAC 2 win right there. Okay, that's the trophy draft. We'll see. We'll follow this as the season goes along. Always fun to have some personal rooting interests. So we'll put those out on Twitter. Let us know you think which squad is going to go through. Here's the mailbag. We'll get out of here after that.
The mailbag is, Anders would like to say he loved this show, but it's time for us to finish, and we're looking forward to the next episode.
Fine, I'll put those in the next episode. That's it for us. We'll see you on Thursday. Once again, Apple TV and YouTube. And as always, you can listen to us anywhere you get your podcast. Big thanks for listening. 4 days until MLS is back. Go get your subscription in to MLS Season Pass on Apple TV. See you Thursday. Adios. We'll be right back.